All right, top of the morning to you, Calvary. How are we? Good? I didn't get anything back. I said, how are you? There we go. All right, that's better. We'll help each other wake up, okay? All right, announcements here. Well, it was just up there. You want to put that back up there? I figured I'd start with it since it's as a handout and it's on the board. So October, nope, that's wrong. That's right. I guess it's just a different handout. I'll just stick with this one. October 19th at 5:30 p.m., we're going to have a soup fellowship. So bring your favorite soup. We should do it like if you make a soup, then we rate it at the end, and then there's like a winner, and then we'll have a reigning soup fellowship champion. What? Yeah, like a soup off. We can still do a soup off. Well, if I attend, I'll be ranking them either way, so I'll let you know. Sure, dollar store, baby. Okay. All right, yeah, so that's coming up on the 19th, and like it says on there, you can bring games or something to play, dessert, anything like that. Getting contact with Lisa Hart, and her number is on there if you want to help or anything like that. They're going to be setting up chairs early, and there's a sign-up sheet by the Welcome Center, too. Okay, other announcements we've got here. It's the Calvary Brotherhood meeting, October 5th, 9 a.m., and they are continuing with the Land of the Free study. Calvary Sisterhood also will meet on the 5th at the same time, going over fellowship and devotional. And then the Fall Fellowship is what we just discussed. Choir rehearsal will be back in action today, so if you were interested and putting those singing pipes to the test, come on out at 5 p.m. and everybody's welcome. You make them sing like a solo first to try out, right? No? All right. Yeah. Well, okay. Touche. And as far as like the prayer requests we have, make sure, because it's not on the back here, but our cleaning lady, what's her name? Kim. Let's make sure to keep her in our prayers. She's dealing with a shoulder injury. And I think that's everything I've got. Okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer. Dear God, we just pray. We ask that you'd be with us here this morning, that you'd be in this place, that your spirit would guide and lead us all as we seek to understand Pastor Mike's message, and as he seeks to give a message. We just pray and ask that you would help our focus and our concentrations be on you here this morning, and you'd help us to be free of any distractions or anything that might be in the back of our mind that we're thinking about or worried about or excited about. God, we just pray that at the very least for this time that we're here, that we can focus on you, God. We pray that it would edify us and it would build up this body. And we just pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
You're invited to stand.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Thank you for the cross, Lord.
Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame. You came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the name. wash me in your cleansing blood. Now I know your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne, crowned you now with many crowns, you reign victorious.
So thankful to be back into the house of prayer once again. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy down through the week and allow us to be back here to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, for the many people that are suffering this day in this country of ours, Lord, that been hit by the tornadoes or the hurricanes, Lord. Many people are suffering and many people have lost loved ones, and they're grieving this morning, Lord, and we can understand that. So be with those people, God, and help them to restore. We pray for the situation overseas. We pray for the nation of Israel, God, and the war that's going on over there, God. We know that that you're in total control of all things, Lord. So you know what's going to happen. And so we just pray for your people, Israel, God. Be with us, God, in our worship service this morning. And bless the pastor as he imparts your word to us. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. You're invited to stand.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor, Father, create. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Oh, hey, all right. We'll do something to get you this information somehow or another, okay? That's a good thing. He says, here, take this. Okay. All right. So, Matthew chapter 14 this morning, and verse 22 and following. Starting in verse 22. It's one of those very interesting things. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. What would we have said? Whoa! Or something like that. It is a spirit, they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And of course, Peter, being Peter, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. Now listen. And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. So when you hear people say Jesus walked on the water, you need to include Peter too. He walked on the water too to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. What did he do? He took his eyes off Christ. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why, wherefore, didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. And they were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this great book that we call the New Testament that gives us the life, the ministry, the sayings, the events, the roles of people as they interacted with the Lord Jesus, as Jesus interacted with them. Everyday things, but some things that were just miraculous because Jesus was God in the flesh. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning that we might recognize that you have promised us wherever two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst. Lord, thank you for being with us today. Be with divine providence as you promised to be with them and all those who are meeting all over the world today in the name of Jesus. Bless them. Lord, we think especially the Middle East. And we think, Father God, of North Africa and all the nations in North Africa. And we know from other publications that your spirit is moving and Muslims, Islam is being replaced by Christianity. And they don't like it. But Lord, we praise you for it. It's your work of your spirit. Miraculously, supernaturally, you're drawing people. We pray for our country, Lord. We're heading in directions that we have never been before because we've abandoned your word. We have doubted your guidance, and we don't look forward to meeting with you to get that kind of information and guidance that we need. But Lord, you can change our hearts, change us, draw us unto yourself. Be with us now as we're here in this place because we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, in 1969, I was stationed in Florida at Herbert Field. which is really close to Fort Walton Beach. It's a really beautiful place. If you've never been to the Panhandle, Pensacola, Fort Walton, Tallahassee, all in that panel, in that big bend that we're talking about with the hurricanes coming in this week. If you've never been there, those are the most beautiful beaches in all the world. The beach is white sand. The water is actually crystal clear most of the time, except for June grass. You know what June grass is? It's yuck. But you can get out past it if you wade through the stuff. You can get out past it. Todd used to wade through it all the time. Then he would dive in it, ploop, you know, and I'd pick him up by the hair. But anyway, beautiful place. But I was stationed there in 1969. I was at Herbert Field, and we were told that there was a hurricane coming. And the hurricane's name, as they have a want to do, name these things, was called Camille. So the next day after the hurricane came through, I was sent to Mississippi. They got hit hardest in that bend there. To Biloxi, Mississippi. Does anybody know where I was born? Yeah. That's the only time I've ever been there. Got born, went back for this marvelous event, stayed there for about 2.5 hours. I was really looking forward to it, you know, in a sense, wow, Biloxi. As I was going down there, I thought to, it was a beautiful day. Beautiful day. I thought, wow, this hurricane stuff is exaggerated. And then when I started going over those bridges, you know, sometimes they have two lanes going this way. They're independent of the two lanes going the other way. And I noticed that the bridge on the other side, we had to come to, and the guy told me, he says, just drive, they build up the ramp there with dirt, but you can get up there, no problem. Just drive right up there, because I'm really going the wrong way on the bridge. So they stopped traffic and let traffic go that way, and then they, because the other bridge was gone. All there was just concrete posts out there. Just pretty as clean as gone, you know. I thought, wow, you know, maybe this hurricane stuff is something, you know. So I get down to Biloxi, and never being there other than when I was born, and I don't remember a whole lot about that. The first thing I did was come in, and I was looking for the signs and things like that. You know, most of the signs were already tore down. But I did see this sign that was kind of hanging there, and it said Holiday Inn. I thought, where's this supposed to be? Well, it was supposed to be right there. There wasn't anything left of it, but that one sign just hanging in the air. Just cleaned off, man. Just cleaned off. And I didn't go very far after that, and then I saw this ship. Now, this is a four-lane highway. You got beach and four-lane highway. It's up there in somebody's yard. I thought, my goodness, how did that happen? So anyway, this hurricane was a real thing. But Camille also turned out not only to be a strong hurricane in these odd ways that I'm describing to you, but it killed people. We as human beings, we're strange, aren't we? The Weather Service tells us a hurricane is coming, be careful, and all this kind of stuff. There's an island that runs from Pensacola all the way to Panama City, and they told them, you've got to evacuate the island. Can't stay on the island. And so these people down towards Pensacola, they said, we're in a hurricane-proof building. Condominium. Hurricane-proof. I just thought to myself, even when I heard it on the radio, I thought, don't say that. You know, because guess what? It wasn't hurricane proof. Matter of fact, they couldn't find it at all. And I think there was 52 people killed there because they thought, we're in a hurricane proof building. Well, so they died, and it was a disaster. And all that through my mind, I thought about Noah. He was in a pretty good hurricane or a flood, wasn't he? The Bible tells us he was a preacher of righteousness, and he was warning the people of a coming flood. Over in 2 Peter, Peter says, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. This was judgment of God. You know, there is a recurring theme in the scripture that we experience almost all the time. In life, there will be challenges. In life, there will be storms. Some of these are mild. Some of these are, wow, that's kind of interesting. The bridge is not there anymore. And some of these are frightening. But we need to recognize that all these things are under the auspices, the infinite wisdom of God, and also in His grace. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 5, "But I say unto you, hate your enemies and kill them as quick as you can." Does anybody have the rest of that verse from my Bible? No, that's not it. It is all. It says what? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Let me, I'm sure, don't have to tell you. Be good to them that curse you. That's hard to do. Be good to them that hate you. That's hard to do. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Yeah, I can pray for them. Lord, deep six them, you know. I was coming down the hallway one time years and years ago, and I was just in a terrible mood. I was telling the Lord all kinds of stuff that He needed attended to. And I was getting tired of it. You know, Lord, let's get this problem straightened out. And so I came walking down the hall there, and I was talking to myself in my mind. I wasn't praying. I was just blah, blah, blah to myself. And I got to those stairs over there. You walk up, and that's as far as I got. Because the Lord just kind of took my and just pushed me down on that stairs and says, "Now, here's a good altar. How about less having to talk rather than you just shouting at me all the time?" Does God ever do that with you? Yeah, He does it, doesn't He? And so we need to recognize that there are those that are going to be despitefully using us and persecuting us. But that may be, but they're still children of the Father. Their Heavenly Father. He maketh the sun to shine on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. You know, it would be no problem whatsoever if our idea of withholding blessings and giving blessings was in our prescription for that, because it would be easy to see. But it's not easy to see, is it? Because God rains on the unjust and the just alike. God blesses them and blesses us. Our Bible text this morning says there are things perfectly calm when Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat. Everything was copacetic. Everything was calm. Everything was beautiful. They're going out on the Lake of Galilee. Have you ever seen that? It is not a huge place, is it? You can see we ate someplace on the shore, and they actually had Peter Fish or something like that, and they kind of gave us a little biblical lesson. You look across the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Galilee, over that way, and there are mountains over there, and they have these peaks. And what happens is the wind starts coming through there, and these mountains block it. And so then it begins to be funneled right down to the lake or the Sea of Galilee. And so whatever magnitude that might have been before it started getting funneled is now greater. And these storms just pop up, boom, just like that. And so that's what they were out in their boat. Everything was fine, and all of a sudden there was a storm. We don't like storms. I don't think you do. I don't like storms. We don't like adversity. Do you like adversity? I don't like adversity. I don't like testing. Lord, I'm 70. How old am I? 76? That can't be right, can it? 56. There you go. Todd's got the thing. How old does that make you? Anyway. But listen. It's times like this when we have to evaluate our walk with the Lord. And we have to choose His will or our will. if we choose his will, generally, he's got a blessing for us, and we learn from that and grow spiritually from that. If we are stubborn and stiff-necked and we go the other way, guess what happens? We just keep getting plummeted and plummeted and plummeted until we bend the knee and break our hearts are broken and we bend, come to him for mending. But this was perfectly calm when the disciples go out there. It's beautiful. It's a great day. Good day for fishing. Then out of nowhere comes a storm. Like I said, we don't like storms, we don't like adversity or any of those kind of things, but they happen. Listen, all sunshine, this is a proverb, all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. You want to live in a desert? Well, then you have to have some rain. You have to have it. Not only do storms come in physically earthly life, it comes also in our spiritual lives. They come to us for a purpose, though, I believe. Nothing comes through the hand of God that he means for us to be harmed. He means for us to be blessed somehow. They strengthen us, or they mature us, or they give us insight into how God works in other people's lives and shows us that he loves them too. Sometimes we forget that Jesus not only was the Word made flesh, but he was God in flesh. Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, he is the active agent of creation. When Jesus spoke, it was. Isn't that amazing? He was in the world, John says, but the world was made by him and the world didn't know him. Isn't that amazing? What we need to try to do is don't wait for the storm to try to learn of the Lord. Do something before that happens. And if you do it before it happens, then the winds, they're there, and it's a storm. The rain comes, the river rises, and all those kind of things. But we know where we're standing is on solid ground. Matthew 14:24 tells us that the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Everything was calm when Jesus said to the guys, go out there in the boat. But now it's not. It was tossed to and fro in the waves. The wind was contrary. Have you ever faced a contrary wind? You say, well, I don't know. Have you ever been in a hurricane? That's a contrary wind. Have you been in a tornado? We had a tornado go not too long ago, just right down over here. Well, you say, well, I haven't had a whole lot of experience with that. But here's something you probably have had a lot of experience with. Contrary wind is one thing. Contrary people is another thing. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, because I think we probably could all raise our hand that we've met contrary people. And some of these people are contrary the minute you meet them. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. They're just contrary. They're in the objective case right off the bat. Listen, this contrary people, though, come into our lives. The Lord allows that to happen because we need to make adjustments in our lives. We need to grow spiritually. We need to grow up in him rather than up in the world. Adversity can do a couple of things. It can break us down. It can discourage us. It can paralyze us. It can make us bitter. Or we start trusting God. And we learn that God can do all things. It's kind of like a refiner's fire that God has us in, isn't it? this fired. But there are stepping stones to help us get a broader vision, to make us more useful in his hand, more pliable, to make us more like a David. David was a giant killer. You know, the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above everyone in Israel, and Goliath comes along, this big, huge man, and he's calling out to Israel and challenging them, the armies of Israel on this mountain there. The Philistines are over there, and Goliath's out there. Who should have said, hey? Should have been Saul. He's the biggest guy in the whole place besides Goliath. Remember when he said to David, here, take my armor? Well, that would have been a disaster, wouldn't it? Listen, God wants us to be like David. Trust him. Trust in the methods that he has showed you, tried and true over and over and over again. David thought to himself a very odd thing. He says, I'm not going to go out there with a spear and a shield and all that kind of stuff. I don't know anything about that, but I have a slingshot, and I kill a bear with that, and I kill a lion with that. And if the Lord helps me, right between the eyes, I'm going to kill that terrible Philistine as well. In the world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Lord Jesus knew that adversity is on the outside of a person. But on the inside is the attitudes that determine whether or not we choose to be more like Christ. Whether we choose to be better or bitter. Jesus explained this to Peter chapter 15, verse 16 and 20. He says, are you yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out in the dross? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the whole man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. That last sentence. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Who majored in that little process? The washing of hands. The Pharisees. The Pharisees, they were always trying to correct everybody. Hey, you're not washing your hands right. What are you doing? Your disciples are eating. And when they were going along through the field, you're reaping and doing all this kind of stuff. You can't work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus, of course, gave them a couple of quick answers back. The Pharisees had it all wrong. I don't know what the numerical population of the Pharisees is in the United States, but there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. They like to do ritual things. And these Pharisees are most of the time in high-ranking spiritual places. They're always concerned about keeping your hands clean, but they're not concerned about keeping the heart clean. They're concerned about the 1, 2, 3 ABCs, but they're not concerned about a right relationship with God Almighty. Three times holy is our God. You're saying, I'm glad we've got it right as Baptists. We don't think like that. Well, we do have it right sometimes. You know, we have tens of millions of people today who believe because they're a member of some church, some place, that they're going to heaven. They believe that they were baptized when they were a baby. I always wonder about, you know, when you're doing that, does the baby raise his hand or anything? Say, you know, I don't think so. It's a ritual. But that ritual, they say, removes original sin. So if you die between that time and the time later on, you'd be going to heaven. I always thought to myself, you know, I think the Bible teaches that God is a holy God, just and faithful and righteous and all those kind of things. The God I know anything about in the Bible is not a God who condemns babies to hell. He doesn't do that. That's those other guys. They practice all these things. They teach all these things. There's a word for the Lord's Supper and what it does for us. It's called transubstantiation. Taylor's a Bible guy. Where is that word in the New Testament? Not there. I would tell you, I don't even think the concept there. The word's not there, the concept's not there, and thousands of people believe it. Because they've been taught that all their life. They've been taught wrong all their life. And what they need to hear is the truth from somebody like you and me who knows the truth of the Scripture, who loves them in the Lord, and we're not trying to correct them. We're trying to let them know the truth. And I believe that the Holy Spirit honors that, and the Holy Spirit is the one that breaks down that wall and lets their eyes be open and their hearts receptive. And one of these days, bingo. What did we ever do that for? You know, Martin Luther was the founder of the Lutheran Church, but he took that view that the bread and the wine did not transform anything. He said, they really don't become the literal body and blood of Christ. Does anybody know when Martin Luther said that? Did the Pope send emissaries to him and say, praise God, we're so glad we've been messing up on that all these years. Did they send him? They did send some guys to look for him, but not to reward him, that's for sure. It's not true. It's misleading. We're trusting not in the Scripture, but we're trusting in fallible human beings. Don't ever believe a word I say if it doesn't come out of the Bible. If there's a concept or a principle there that you can't look in the Bible and say, he's talked about that today. I couldn't quite understand everything he said because he's goofy and he doesn't have a real giant intellect. But I think I saw it there and I read it for myself and I thought, oh, the principle is there. I got it. Doesn't really become the body and blood of Christ or anything else like that. Matter of fact, I think some of these things would be good. Save the water. What's that strong? Something I saw on the TV, and I always tell my wife, the save a horse, ride a cowboy or something like that. And the guy then says something about this whiskey. You know what commercial I'm talking about? He holds up this bottle of whiskey or something. And I think to myself, well, you were doing real good until you did that. Is that who it is? Real good until you got to that part, you know. Believe in God and country and pure whiskey. Yeah, okay. Well, I reject that. Martin Luther rejected that. Ulrich Zwingli. How many people have named their sons Ulrich? They should have. He also rejected that in the sense of the Scripture understanding of salvation, but also in the sense of what the Lord's Supper was doing. He said salvation is by faith and faith alone. It says so in the Bible. The truth and the reality of the Holy Spirit in the Lord's Supper is that it reminds us to celebrate who Jesus is. What does that saying say down there? Do this in remembrance of me. And remembering what I did, remembering that I went to the cross, remembering that I was God in the flesh, remembering I talked as no man ever taught before, I remember that I died on the cross, but listen, remember, I didn't stay in the grave. We're doing a whole new thing now. We're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And listen, I said this a couple weeks ago, I know. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Wow. That means God's here today. Isn't that kind of frightening? God is here today. God is here today. I was reminded this morning that years and years ago, one of the guys that is a friend of mine, I like him, his ideas is they have worship and they do a pretty good job at it, I think. But he comes in a t-shirt and his blue jeans. You know what? I love my t-shirt and blue jeans. But he messed that whole thing up for me. I was just really going that way. I think, all right, you know, let's lose that. That's cool. So he comes in t-shirts and blue jeans and picks up the word and worships and all those kind of things. And I don't know that that's all altogether bad. But he also went downtown and had Mayor Tom Henry give him some sort of award. And that day, had his hair combed and shaved, and he wore his three-piece suit. What are you doing? This drunk gives you a piece of paper, and you dress up for him? And Jesus is here, and you can come in a t-shirt, and didn't even brush your teeth this morning. Something's wrong with that picture. I don't know what it is, but we need to correct it. Because we're coming here, this place, when we meet together, we're assembled as the people of God. God is here with us. God hears us. Hopefully God enjoys what we're singing about, praises to him, and livens our heart, and blesses us, and draws us near to him. All these things because we're worshiping the true living God of all the earth. And that's the way he's prescribed to do it. You don't have to dress up, dress down, anything else. But don't go one way, and one way the other way. Be consistent. Matthew said, for wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Well, listen. That little storm in the Gulf, I think they called her Helene, was that it, his name? Became to be a hurricane, and it came in, didn't it? And the National Weather Service was telling us all those kind of things, and one of the most important things they were telling those people in the Big Bend area was prepare. It's a storm. It's a big one. Be prepared. Well, you saw the pictures. There's a lot of water there. There was destruction everywhere. That one thought that was interesting, the cameraman or something for news people went over there and rescued some lady out of a car. And I thought, well, okay, that's great. I thought to myself, what was that woman out there doing driving around the street? They've been telling you for days, stay home, be prepared, don't do these stupid things, and she's out there in the street. I guess, you know, if it had been me, I'd took my sign and said, go home. You should have been home. No, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, did I say anything about this prayer thing? Oh, good, good, good. See, I'm getting old, forgetful. Governor DeSantis warned and warned and warned and warned. But yet there were people who were not prepared. We're warning, 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 and yet there are going to be people who are not prepared. This is the world we live in. It's not always sunshine. Sometimes there are storms. It's not always beautiful. We've had some beautiful days, though, I thought to myself. But sometimes the wind and the rain and all these kind of things are frightening. Did you know that there are 63 Bible verses that tell us about the judgment of God? Somebody told me years and years ago, if the Bible says something one time, it's important. Wonder if it says 63 times. Over in Isaiah, Isaiah says, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their," what? "Iniquity." We're not going to get away with it forever. The writer of Proverbs says, "Assuredly the evil man will not go unpunished, but the righteous will be delivered." But you know, I'm glad that's not the end of the story. There's another word. Judgment is used 63 times, but there's another word in the scripture that's used 150 times. You say, how'd you find that out? Well, I got a computer. Hey, whoa, I didn't know that. 63, 150. You asked, what is that word? You know what that word is? Grace. Grace. 150 times God talks about grace. Paul says over in Romans 3, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." But then in verse 21, he says, But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." The law and the prophets point there. If we don't see where grace comes in, we don't know what the law and the prophets are all about. Paul said, "Do we then make void the law through faith?" No, not at all. He says, "God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." Now listen, sometimes we do miss the forest for the trees. But let's not miss this. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast." God took it on himself to pay our sin debt. God in Christ wiped the slate clean. It is finished. It is paid in full. "But God, which is rich in mercy," Paul says, "for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he has quickened us together with Christ." Quickened means to be made alive in Christ. You see, Jesus died on Calvary, not for his sin. He was sinless. But for ours. The whole Old Testament sacrificial system says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Didn't make any difference whether it's a pigeon or a turtle dove. Matter of fact, did you guys do that? You start reading those kind of things, and you thought, this sin was a turtle dove. And somewhere else it says two sparrows if you don't have a turtle dove. And somewhere else it says, well, you know, something else. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Turtle doves don't do you any good. Pigeons don't do you any good. What does you good is the grace of God when you're obedient unto him. "Even so, we were dead in sins, but he has quickened us together in Christ, made us alive." You see, Jesus died on the cross not for his sin. He had none. But he died for our sin. He paid the price. Has anybody ever paid the price for you on something? I've had that happen a couple of times. It's really a surprise. It really is. That one particular time I was over at Walmart and getting a few groceries, and this guy said, he just walked up and he said, "Let me take care of that for you." And he paid for it. And I thought, boy, couldn't you have said something earlier? I'd got some Coke and some potato chips and that was really nice of him. I never saw him before, never saw him after that. "But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us," God took the initiative. We can't do it. "Even when we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, he has quickened us, made us alive in Christ." Listen, not only has he saved us from hell by his grace, he's raised us together to make us set together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You know that song, I love that song. I'm terrible music, as anybody knows. Terrible singer and everything else. That's for, what, if you can sing in the wrong key or something like that, I can do that every time. Be too loud when you're supposed to be soft, or be too soft when you're supposed to be loud. Any of those kind of things. But I can only imagine. But it's a great song. Great song. I think, how is it going to be? I don't know. We can only imagine it. And even with our wildest imagination, guess what? When we appear there, blown away! Whoa! Didn't even touch the hem of the garment. How wonderful this is. The grace of God overflowing to me. And the angels and Jesus and everybody, all the saints. Oh, man, what a thing. What a thing. Jesus died for us because he loved us. That's it. That's it. We don't do anything to deserve it. He just loves us. The Pharisees, and also in Matthew 16 says, with Jesus, the Pharisees came to Jesus and Sadducees, trying to discredit him. I always think that that's just really something. That's like the Sadducees and the Pharisees getting together. They hate each other, but they hate Jesus more. That's kind of like the Republican and the Democrats getting together and praising Trump or something. I don't know. Just crazy. Will never happen. But they put the hate aside because Jesus takes and pays the debt. It's amazing that the lost, those folks are bound for hell, they don't even know it. But these people don't recognize the gift of God. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't penetrate their heart, they never will. But praise God, God wants to penetrate their heart. Friends, we're all in the same boat together. It's tough out there. You get in the boat with Jesus, everything's fine until you get out in the water a little bit, and all of a sudden, whoosh, 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 whoosh. And what's Jesus doing? He's up there praying. What's wrong with that man? Get down here, do something about this. No, I'm just being facetious. Don't go home and say the preacher said, there's Jesus, I come down there and preach that up. He did, actually. Yes. Friends, we're all in the same boat together. And it's raining out there. Sometimes it's worse than other times. Sometimes it's not too bad. But it's a tough world out there. And we need somebody to help us get through. Get through. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who can still the water and the storms? Only Jesus. We're never alone. That's why we worship. That's why we're here. We're saying, thank you, Lord. We appreciate. We love you. Oh, yes, Lord, we have poor excuses, but nevertheless, we love you. And we thank you. Jesus is in the house. He's here today, even today. Amazing, isn't it? Never. 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 Give up. He's with you. You're just one step away from victory. Take that one more step. He'll never leave you. He will never abandon you. He's right there with you. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. But he's there. He loves you. Heavenly Father, your word is replete with the events living stories, true stories. About storms, about sadness, about loss, but also about grace and mercy and joy and fellowship and faith and strengthen and walking with you. And we thank you. We thank you. Lord, we have an assignment, I believe, even right now. We're to be the good news people. And the world we live in needs a lot of good news pointing to Jesus. And Lord, we know that your spirits are already at work. Many of these terrible, terrible places in the world, you're already there. You're already working. Lord, help us to pray for, if we have the opportunity to give money for missions or anything like that, that we use those times to glorify you. It's a small thing. You can get by without it. But if we do it, we're blessed. That's how gracious you are. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody can boast. We don't need to boast. It's so marvelous. Lord, I ask your blessing on this congregation right here this morning. There are many things that are here today. If we knew them, we'd be sad. But you know them. And you're right there doing much, much better a ministry than we ever thought we could, even if we knew and understood in a greater way. But Lord, strengthen us together. Help us to be unified in the truths of your word. Help us to be Jesus' people, that they might see Jesus in us. And in seeing Jesus in us, desire him for themselves. Lord, even this morning, as we're here, maybe there's one person here today that just needs to come to this altar and pray. I don't know what it might be, Lord. Needs to come up here and say, Brother Mike, I've been here for 150 years, right along with you. And for the very first time, I think I need Jesus. Whatever it might be, Lord, you work in our hearts. Don't let us leave this place today griping and complaining, but rejoicing. Rejoicing. For these things I say and ask in the highest name under heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing a song.
If you are